There's a lot of psychology involved when you're dealing with something as cerebral and central and emotional to the individual as their relationship with God. Then it's not just about actions. It's a lot about thoughts and feelings and ideas. And what the Rambam does in this fourth chapter, again, there are 10 chapters in Hilchos Teshuvah. We're only doing 1, 2, 3, 4. We haven't had a chance to do more. But in the fourth chapter, he wants to gather together 24 things which people make mistakes on during their everyday life that just make it harder to do tshuva. And therefore, these are things not even necessarily for right now in this Rosh Hashanah, but these are things to think about for the next year. So to try and avoid these 24 things so that when you're looking again next year to kind of refresh and restart, then you'll not have these pulling you back. Okay? And it's actually a very interesting list that he's made. He divides them into 5 groups. There's 4 and 4 fives, 24 things altogether. So let's start from the very beginning. Esrim va'arba, we're on page 11 of the pack. There's English on the other side of the page if you'd rather follow in English. Esrim va'arba devarim ma'ak v'meta tshuva. There are 24 things that hold back tshuva. And before we even talk about them, go to the very, very last line, vav, at the bottom, where he ends the chapter, where he says, kol elu advarim u'kiyotze behem. All of these things and similar things. It means these aren't the only ones. There are more. But these things and similar things, afal pishama agfim et tshuva, even though they make it harder to do tshuva, they hold back tshuva. Ein monin et tshuva, they don't prevent tshuva. They don't prevent tshuva. You can never ever tell somebody that they're beyond hope. There is no such thing in Judaism. You can always do tshuva. Ela im asa adam tshuva mehem, but if you're able to do tshuva from not only your regular life, but from these things which have stopped you from doing tshuva, it's like tshuva squared, like a next level of tshuva. Because these things are make it harder to do tshuva, so to do regular tshuva, you also have to find a way to get out of these problems. If you manage to do that, how is it about tshuva? Then you're about tshuva. V'yesh lo chelek le'olam haba. And you have your place in the world to come. And like we said last week, all Jews pretty much have a place in the world to come. It doesn't matter if they're frum or if they're not frum or if they're tzaddikim or rishayim. Said, and a rishayim, don't forget, are people who do things on purpose. They don't care that they're wrong and they know that they're wrong and they do it knowingly that they're wrong. And they've already been told that they're wrong. People who don't even realize what the halacha says and don't even fall into the category, God forbid, of rishayim, that because they're certainly not doing anything actively wrong because they don't realize it. So everyone has a place in the world to come. We don't do outreach. It's going to talk about outreach in a minute. We don't do outreach to save Jewish souls. Okay, we're not Christian missionaries. We don't think that the non-observant Jews out there, Nebuch, they're not getting into Olam Haba, we can help them into Olam Haba. They may be way ahead in Olam Haba from all the front people you know. Really, honestly. It's very hard to know, honestly. So the reason that we help people is because we believe that a life of mitzvahs is actually something which is enriching and connects people with God. And even though these people out there who might not know much have not necessarily done anything wrong because they don't know what, they've not necessarily connected with all the mitzvahs that they could connect with. And that positive connection is what we're trying to help them to do. And therefore, we're not trying to get people into Olam Haba. Kol Yisrael yesh lem olam, chelek l'olam haba. All Jews have a place in the world to come. Non-Jews as well, says the Rambam elsewhere, except for a small list, which we'll talk about in the fall, and we'll talk about, you know, the Hashkafa issues and whether that prevents people. We're not talking about that now. He says, but nevertheless, don't give up, he said. Even though these 24 things make it harder, they don't prevent a person from doing tshuva and moving forward. So let's look at what they are. Back to the very beginning. So these 24 things stop or hinder, I should say, a person doing tshuva. Arba mehem avon gadol. 4 of them are really big sins, really big problems. V'ha'oise echad me'arbatan. If you do one of these 4 things, Ein HaKadosh Baruch Hu maspik biyado la'asot tshuva. Then God doesn't help you to do tshuva, lefi gadol cheto, because you've done such a serious problem, such a thing wrong, you don't get that siyata d'shamaya, that help from heaven. And this is a very important point. You need a hand to do tshuva. You can't do it on your own. We can't do it ourselves. We daven every day that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should help us to do tshuva, should give us the right, you know, in experiences and send the right people our way and put us in the right situations and help us make the right choices. We obviously have to make the choices. But if you do one of these 4 things, says the Rambam, you give up that help. You're on your own. You've got to do it on your own. What are those 4 things? Now, look at the very interesting. They're not what you'd necessarily think. Aleph. They all go to pretty much to the issue of your responsibility to other people. Aleph. Hamachte et harabim. if you are responsible for the public, the Jewish public, behaving in a way which is against halacha, you are encouraging them and making them do that. Bichlal avon zeh, included in this, is hama'akibus harabim la'asot mitzvah. If you hold back, if you make it harder for a Jew to do mitzvah, not just a Jew, but Jews generally, you use your influence to try and stop Jews keeping mitzvahs, then that's a very serious aveira. And you're on your own, and you don't have any help in doing the tshuva, and you've got to do it all on your own, because don't forget, we have a very fundamental principle, kol Yisrael arevim zeh lazeh. All Jews are responsible for all other Jews. And if not only do you not fulfill your responsibility to help them, that you actively hurt them, then it's hard to think, says the Rambam, of anything worse than this. You're actively encouraging other people to distance themselves from Hashem. V'hamatech haveru miderech tova lederech ra. Bet is someone who takes an individual and they pulls them off the derech. This is the expression. Off the derech is not a modern expression. Off the derech is a classic expression. You take them off the derech to a bad derech. Come on, meisid u'madiach. Meisid u'madiach is someone who is a sneaky person who goes into a, you know, to another person and says, let's worship idol worship together, let's, you know, break Shabbos together, etc. Again, you're someone who is actively encouraging somebody to do an aveira. It's very interesting. There's a debate in halacha as to whether you're allowed to invite people to come to you for Shabbos if you know they're going to drive.
Yeah.
So most poskim say that you can. Maybe you could offer them somewhere to stay, so that if they want to stay, they can stay. Usually they won't stay because they're like, that's a bit weird, like, I'm going to stay. But most poskim say that you can. And some poskim even say that even if you're encouraging to do something which is wrong, then what they're going to get out of it, which is in net terms, which is positive, actually maybe outweighs the fact that they're going to break one Shabbos, they're going to end up keeping Shabbos, etc., etc. And there's a complicated cheshbon. But Rav Moshe Feinstein, who often is lenient on many issues, or not always, but often on here, he's very strict. And he says, if you invite somebody to come to your house on Shabbos and they drive, you are a mesit. He uses this expression. You are an enticer. You are enticing. You're encouraging Jews to break Shabbos. And he's very, very against it. Now, that's not what most poskim say. But it's probably the example of mesit you're going to have in your everyday life, at least according to Rav Moshe. Yeah.
In terms of, like, these four big ones, do you have to have the intention of, like,
yes, whenever, if you do anything without intending to do it, it's never considered to be a purposeful aveira. Meaning, if you're just going on your merry way and you're clueless, then okay, you're irresponsible. But that's not this. It's someone who dafka is doing that, which is another good reason, by the way, that someone inviting someone else to come for Shabbos. How can you call them a mesit? They're not trying to get them to be mechalal Shabbos. They're trying to get them to have some Shabbos experience. So that's why I think most poskim just don't agree with Rav Moshe, but it's an interesting tshuva of Rav Moshe. Serenity.
This is like a particular personal thing, but like there was one time a shabbat where they invited a gay couple, and like one of the gay people was Jewish and the other one wasn't. Would that fall technically into this?
Oh, wow, that's a big question, which is first of all, I don't understand. You're concerned about the. Okay, fine. Let's roll back. First of all, gay people need to keep Shabbos, okay? Number one. And therefore, whether they're gay or whether they're not gay has no impact on whether you should or you shouldn't be encouraging them to keep Shabbos, okay? That, of course. Of course. Meaning people have a challenge in one particular area, they have to keep all the other mitzvahs. And on the contrary, it's important to reinforce to people that even though they may feel that they've made a lifestyle choice which puts them apart from the mainstream community, that doesn't exempt them in any way and doesn't exempt you from helping them to keep the Torah in every way that they possibly can. That's number one. So I don't think it makes any difference. Number two, the only question you might have is one of chinuch, which is, let's say you have kids at the table and you're trying to work out what is the best way to present the Shabbos table in a way that the kids, you know, pick up on wholesome messaging. And that's a very complicated thing, and I'm not sure what the answer is, because it comes up also with people who drive and they park outside and the kids are saying, why is grandma driving? Doesn't she know about Shabbos? And you have to come up with a good, obviously not on the cup, you have to think about how you're going to use this as a chinuch message. And it comes up, you have a gay couple, this is Steve and his friend, or this is Steve and his husband, this is Steve and his wife. You're going to have to work, you're going to have to think through what the implications are on how that connects with your kids. And I don't know what the answer is, because I don't know your kids yet, Serenity, and neither do you, which makes planning for educating them a little bit more tricky, because you don't know their personalities. But one day when you're sitting at the Shabbos table with them, you'll think of this class, and then you'll send me a message, and you'll say, Rabbi Manning, now I know. And you'll have to work it out. I don't know. There are ways to integrate people at your Shabbos table who are not leading religiously observant lifestyles in a way which is not a problem for your kids. Yes. Emily, I need to go on because I don't want to talk about Shabbos. I want to talk about this, okay? Fine, I'm sure it's a great question, but I just need to get on with this because I've done 1 out of 24, 2 out of 24, okay? Okay, Gimel. Haroi b'noi b'tarbus ra. Talking of chinuch. You see your child going off in the wrong direction. Ve'einu m'macha b'yada, but you don't bother to intervene. Because, you know, whatever. It's his life. It's her life. Since your child is within your control to some degree, if you had intervened and tried to help them and stop them doing this wrong thing, they would have stopped doing it. I mean, you put a question mark, maybe they would have stopped doing it, meaning you have to try. And now by not interfering, it's like you're actually encouraging them to do it. And not just your children, every Jew is like your child. Anytime you see another Jew acting in a certain way, bein barabim, whether it's the public, bein biyachidim, all the private individuals, v'loy micha, and they're doing something wrong, and you don't intervene, eliyanichato bekishlanam, but you let them say, you know something, your life, my life, I don't care, you do your thing, I do my thing, then that's a terrible aveira, and you will not be able to do tshuva for that without a lot of difficulty. Now, this actually is a very important point, because he's gone from number one, which was actively encouraging people to do things wrong, oh yeah, sure, I mean, I wouldn't do that, to now he's saying that, and if you don't intervene in a way that you could, when you can help people to do things right, you're just passive, you know, I don't get involved, that's also a very major problem. And in fact, that's one of the foundational mitzvahs of outreach. And again, you have to do it in a way which is sensible and healthy. And again, we're not trying to save people's souls and we're not running out like evangelicals. But I have to feel a sense of responsibility. If there are Jews in the world that I can encourage in some way to connect with what I consider to be reality and truth, and forget about reality and truth, a lifestyle that I feel they'll just be better for them in the long term. Won't necessarily make them happy. People don't necessarily get any happier if they get more religious. And whether they're happy or not is a product of the rest of their, you know, psychological state. But nevertheless, I feel that they're more likely to lead a life of values and ethics, etc. I have to get involved, do what I can. Now, he talks about tochacha. And people think tochacha means going in the street and screaming at people and Shabbos, or whatever. Okay, if you feel that that's important and that's going to help matters, then we can discuss that. But most people don't feel that that helps in any way at all. It just gets it out of your system. The point is not to get it out of your system. The point is to help them in some way. So one has to do this. This is an obligation. It's a Torah obligation. Yes?
Rambam's Hilchos Teshuvah?
Yes.
Is he like citing this from anywhere?
Yes, everywhere. You have to remember with the Rambam.
But I thought he doesn't cite stuff normally.
One second. The Rambam gives all his halachas, thousands upon thousands. There are 1,000 chapters in the Mishnah Torah. Mm-hmm. Each chapter is about 15 or 16 halachas. That's a lot of halachas. He never, ever cites any sources from the rabbis. He cites psukim every here and there. But the sources are all there, and all you need to do is pick up a copy of the Rambam, not just this one with just a page, and look at the commentaries. And the commentaries around the Rambam bring all the sources that he brings things from.
Okay.
1 in 1,000, he gives his own idea, which, and he says, nearly hadvarim. Okay. I think the following.
So but, we can pick this up and like look at the, and the, it will have the source.
Yeah, for sure, for sure. But in the 800 years since the Rambam wrote the Mishnah Torah, the rest of the world has been trying to put together all the where he gets his sources from. Sometimes it's obvious, he obviously gets from this Gemara. Sometimes it's like, whoa, how's he learning that and where's he getting that from? But he did that on purpose. He said, I'm writing a book, a clear book of do's and don'ts. He got flack at the time. He got criticism at the time, saying, like, you didn't give me these sources. And he says, you don't like it, don't read it, you know? But this is, you can work out where the sources are. I'm just trying to help people. But yes, you don't expect him to give his sources here. Yes.
I don't know. I'm a little uncomfortable with the idea of giving friends review. Because my thought beyond it is if I feel like the friend would listen to me, would benefit from the conversation, I might say something in a very delicate way.
I'm not. I think you have to translate this into what's the purpose of this rebuke. It's not just rebuke because you're God's policeman and you feel it's your job to tell people where they're going wrong. The whole point is, and he says it clearly, you have an opportunity to help somebody and you're refusing to get involved. Think of it like that. Now, if what you think of as rebuke will just make it worse for everybody, well, then that doesn't achieve anything. And in the laws of Tochacha, which he doesn't bring here, but he brings in Hilchos Deos, it's very clear that if by not saying something, it'll be better than by yes saying something, then the mitzvah is to not say something. There's no mitzvah to just go around going no, no, no to everybody because you think you've got some duty to do that. The duty is to get involved. You can't say it's not my business. This is halachic, by the way, as well. If I make Kiddush on Friday night, and I've said the bracha, and I can only make Kiddush once, you know, once you said the bracha of Kiddush on Friday, Shabbos morning you can make Kiddush 100 times, because you just break pre-agof and you can drink as many cups of wine as you want. Okay, just have a gap between them so you can make a new bracha. Friday night Kiddush, once you did it, you did it. You can't do it again. If you come to my house on Friday night and you haven't made Kiddush and you say, well, I don't really know, how can you make Kiddush? I can make Kiddush again. No. I already made Kiddush. No. If you didn't make Kiddush, I didn't make Kiddush. That's halachic. And I can make Kiddush as many times as I need to for anyone who needs to hear Kiddush, because if it's your Kiddush, it's my Kiddush. It's the same thing. And that's not just a nice, you know, fluffy idea. That's a real halachic. You're responsible for the world. You can't just shrug your shoulders and say, what can I do? If you think about it and come to the conclusion, I've thought about it and there's nothing I can do other than be a good role model. But yes, I agree with you, Hannah. Don't go around causing people to be upset. And Dalad, and this is hilarious, not a word, fascinating, ha'omer, someone who says a different kind of problem, echte v'ashuv. Okay, I'm going to sin, but I'll do tshuva. It's fine. I go out clubbing, but tomorrow morning I'll be a big frumi, and I'll do tshuva. Because tshuva works for everybody, right? Or including this is, ha'omer echte, someone says, I'll live my life and do what I like, but Yom Kippur in Machaper, Yom Kippur will deal with it. Yom Kippur is a great day, cleansing day. I get cleaned up on Yom Kippur. I go to shul. I really mean it in shul as well. But like, yeah, I live my life. Says the Rambam, you can do tshuva, but you have to do tshuva on having abused tshuva, which is just a level higher.
Wait, what?
Meaning you abuse the system. If you abuse the system, then the system won't work for you until you do proper tshuva and you realize that you should not have abused the system.
Wow.
You can do it. It's just harder. There's a story of the Chazon Ish and a young man who came to the Chazon Ish. Chazon Ish is in Bnei Brak. You know, he's not dealing with a kind of a half-religious, half-non-observant crowd. He's dealing with very, you know, seriously committed kids in Bnei Brak, whatever, 50 years ago. A boy came up to him and said to him, you know, Rabbi, I've got a real problem. You know, I connected with this girl and we things got too far and we ended up, you know, sleeping with each other and I feel terrible and da 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 da. And he was very shocked and he said, oh my gosh, how could that happen? Da 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 da. You know, Rabbi, one thing led to another. And he said to him, okay, you know, sit down. Everybody makes mistakes. Some things you don't even realize where it's leading. You just have to realize what you did wrong and you can do tshuva. And there's a problem of, you know, sex before marriage and there's a problem of nida. And the guy stopped him and said, no, Rabbi, there's no problem of nida. He goes, why is there no problem of need? He goes, we made sure she went to the mikveh first.
Mm-hmm.
He said, then I says, I've nothing to say to you. I says, I can't help you. If you lost it, everybody loses it. Losing is a normal thing. If you planned it all out within the system and you worked out how halacha was going to enable you to... There's nothing I can say to you, he said. It's even worse, yeah?
Yeah.
Ironically, of course, it's much less of an aveira if she goes to the mikvah. But it's much more because of the way that they've abused the system. Yeah? And you can still do tshuva on that too. It's just harder. Okay, next. Bet. And then there are 5 things which kind of block ability to do tshuva. The Elohim, what are they? Meaning you've just put yourself in a really bad place and it's just very hard for you to get in the mood or to be able to do tshuva. And again, he's not saying this for the person who's facing it right now. He's saying plan forward and think of this. Aleph, Haporesh min hatzibot. If you decide to leave the Jewish community, not because you don't want to be observant, but you just hate Jews, or you just don't like Jews, and you just want to live somewhere in the middle of nowhere. I don't want Jews. I'm not interested. I keep Shabbos. I keep kosher. I do my thing. I daven. I don't want to be part of the community. That's really bad, he says. The fisher bizman sheyaseh tshuva, because when you want to do tshuva, lo yeh mahem, you won't be with everybody else. Ve'ein azochi mahem b'schiyot she'osim, you won't be part of their schut. Meaning, we don't just approach God and say, look, this is me and this is what I am. You say, look, this is us. We're all one big family. You know, look at me, look at my family. And then the whole Jewish, you're within the Jewish people. Okay, on Rosh Hashanah, you get like a spotlight on you and you can't hide in the crowd. But if you want to be part of the tzibur protects us. We say, ashamnu, bagadnu, gazalnu, dibai. We say it always in the plural. You might not have done these things, but we've done them all together. And therefore, if you're with the community helps you. Okay, they're a pain in the neck. Yes, living with from Jews or any Jews for that matter can be quite challenging sometimes. Yeah? But that's your family. So you want to be on your own? You're on your own. That's not good for your tshuva. You won't be part of that whole movement. Okay? Somebody who is constantly negative about rabbinical things. Ah, rabbis, the rabbis. All the rabbis do is they sit around and make trouble. They find ways to say everything's awesome. And people say, yeah, if the Torah, I'll listen to the Torah. But the rabbis, you know, it's a line. There's Christian atheists have a problem with God. Jewish atheists don't have any problem with God. They have a problem with rabbis. Okay? It's a different kind of atheist. Yeah? So there's someone who's always disagreeing with the rabbis. Again, not that you had a disagreement with a rabbi. Everyone has disagreements with people. It's like a lifestyle. Lefisha machluktoi goremet lo lifrosh mehem, because since your attitude and your negativity has pushed you away from the rabbis, the eni odeh darchei tshuva, you won't be part of that whole. You won't be when they say things like do tshuva, you're not listening because you're tuned out. You're completely tuned out. Yes, Belle. These are all five things that just make it practically harder for you to do tshuva. I mean, you didn't do the worst of all things, which you said, like, you caused other people to do things wrong. But you're just not in the zone. You've put yourself out of the zone. You've left the tzibur. You're negative about the rabbis. This is the classic definition of an am ha'aretz, by the way. When people talk about an am ha'aretz, which often in modern day we take to mean an ignoramus. It doesn't mean an ignoramus. Someone who just hasn't learned, An am ha'aretz is someone with an attitude. There are often also people who haven't learned. But the rabbis, like every Jew has an opinion about Torah. Even though they have, in fairness, they have an opinion about everything. But about Torah, when you don't know Torah, you've never learned Torah. Oh no, God doesn't care if, like, excuse me, what do you know about what God cares? I don't know what God cares about. How do you know? God doesn't care if you take your bones out of your salmon like this. Well, maybe God doesn't care if you hit your next door neighbor on the head, you know? In the grand scheme of things, why is that God's big concern? So once you start getting into those silly arguments, then, no, you can't have a negative attitude. Gimel. Hamal'ig ala mitzvahs. People who make fun of mitzvahs. They make it into a joke. You know, not in a funny way. You can laugh. You can have humor, yeah? There's good Jewish stand-up and frum stand-up as well. But this is like, just make a joke out of mitzvahs. Kevin Shinis Bazu Ba'inav, since mitzvahs have become silly in his eyes or her eyes, and they won't do any mitzvahs. Ve'im lo yaseh, and if they don't do any mitzvahs, but ma'iska, how will you get your positive side up? They've just got a negative attitude to mitzvahs. They just think it's silly. Yes?
What about, like, I know sometimes with, like, friends, sometimes there are mitzvahs that are hard to do, or, like, that just don't make sense, and we'll, like, I'll still do them, and my friends will still do them, but we'll, like, talk about them in a way, like, for example, I've never understood it. To me, it's like, how did the rabbi say, let's put a string around the city, and boom, you can walk with things, like,
right.
Magic.
Okay.
So, like, I'll talk like that with my friends, but of course, we still believe it, we still, like, the rabbi said it, but we joke around, because, like, there isn't a way for us to translate.
Again,
is
I don't
that
know.
Okay? Or
I don't, I don't know when joking around is just like normal and fun, and when it becomes like making fun of mitzvahs. There's a line. I don't know where that line is. I doubt very much that you crossed that line, honestly, just knowing you a little bit, but I'm sure that was fine. But there's a line. Sometimes you can't always draw the line. I always used to get upset when people send around, like, you know, Christmas time, all these, what would Jews what would Christmas be like if Jews, if it was a Frum festival? And like this kind of tree's possible and that kind of leaves a possible. And like, I just feel it's like making a joke out of the whole halakhic process. And it's funny because for years when this used to go up on our family group, I was like, you know, my wife was saying, you know, don't put anything on this group because you've got no sense of humor like this. And then I tell you the truth, I found out. The original article that had this thing about Christmas trees and halacha was from Rav Soloveitchik. And it wasn't a joke. He didn't write it as a joke. He wrote it like Jews see things through halacha. And therefore, if Jews were keeping having Christmas trees, they'd be like, he said it like as a beautiful, and like he got turned into this funny. Like when I heard that, I thought like, whoa, that'll teach me to get annoyed on our family group. It's all on me. So they said, no, don't mess it. By the way, we can have a chat about Eruv. Most people have the wrong understanding of Eruv, which gets them off into the wrong kind of direction. Eruv only works in a place where the Torah says you can carry. You're right. If the Torah says you can't carry there, the rabbis can't make a magic wire and let you carry. The Eruv only works in a place where the Torah says you can carry. The rabbis came along for various reasons and said, look, it's the kind of semi-public place. It's better not to carry there, even though really you could. But we're going to let you do it if we make a kind of enclosing kind of thing. So they only created an Eruv in a place where they made the problem to carry in the first place. Which already, in just one sentence, makes it much clearer, I think. It doesn't answer all the questions. But I'm just saying, a little bit of knowledge sometimes goes a long way. Yeah? Yes. Now, every time I take a question, I feel bad, Emily, that I didn't take your question.
Don't worry, I have a meeting with you on Sunday.
Yeah, okay. I apologize. I just felt we were going to... I'm really feeling bad.
I'm just adding up the question.
Okay, fine. Yes.
What about, like, being friends, people who have these personality types?
Well, they also deserve friends, no? But he's going to get... The last thing he's going to say is don't hang out with people if it's going to have a bad impact on you. You have to know. You have to know yourself. It's not about them. It's about you. Are you going to turn into one of those kind of people? Some kind of things that other people do don't rub off on you so easily. And some do.
For example, like, let's say you have a friend who, like, says Lashon Hara sometimes. You really don't like to hear Lashon Hara. But, like, sometimes just a conversation just says...
I don't know. When you're with people who speak Lashon Hara, do you speak Lashon Hara? Does it just make you feel uncomfortable? Okay. So then they need you. They're not having a negative impact on you, and you're hopefully having a positive impact on them. Sometimes when you're with other people, you kind of end up, I don't know about you, but I feel when you're with people who curse a lot, it just becomes a very normative way of speaking.
It's so true.
And it's just hard. It doesn't mean you have to kind of never speak to them, but it's just one of those things that rubs off really easily. Other things just don't. Anyway, let's go weiter. Let's go on. Ladies, let's go. I love the psychological insights in this chapter. It's really getting to the root of things. Okay, fine. Where are we?
Four,
yeah. In Bet, Dalet, the third line of Bet. Dalet, Hamavazir Raboisav, someone who is insulting to their rabbis. Shidavazir Gorim Lahem Ledachboi, because this causes their rabbis to push them away. They behave badly. The rabbis push them away, or Letarado, Ki Yeshua, like Jesus. It's very interesting. This is a reference to Yeshua HaNotri, and this, in most Rambams, has been censored out by the church. The Rambam talks about Jesus in a few places. The Gemara says that Jesus, Yeshu HaNotri, was a Talmud of Yeshua ben Parachia, which is interesting because that puts him about 150 years before the classic Christian story of Jesus, which is an interesting question. But there were lots and lots of people called Jesus in the Second Temple period. It was like a really common name. There are like Kohanim in the Beis HaMikdash called Jesus. Like everyone's called Jesus. It's just like a Yeshua. It's like Yeshu is short for Yeshua. So it's not clear which one it is. But anyway, the whole story there with him is he drove his rabbi crazy and he kept getting pushed away. And then one day he came to his rabbi, Yeshua ben Parachia, and he really wanted to connect with him seriously. And Rabbi Yeshua ben Parachia was in the middle of saying the Shema, and he just went like this to him, you know, like this to him in the middle of the Shema, and he just lost it. He said, oh, if that's your attitude, then I'm sick of you guys, I'm not going to be Jewish, and he just lost it. So it's he put himself in this negative relationship with his rabbis that just caused him to be pushed off so many times that he just didn't have a way back. And finally, hey, in this chapter, in this little bit, hasone eta tuchachos, and this is really important. Somebody who has no humility and they cannot be told when they've done something wrong. Shehare loy hiniach lo derech tshuva, you've not allowed yourself a path to tshuva. Shetuchacha grows the tshuva, because if you're not open to other people being constructively critical, then how are you ever going to improve? And this is hard. This is hard. But a person, and he spends the rest of this chapter, this paragraph, talking about this, which I'm not going to get into right now because we, you know, need to move on. But the idea of having the humility to be able to listen to when other people have something useful to say. This gets much harder as you get older. Some things get easier as you get older. And that's a big brocha. Some Yetzer horrors when you're in your 20s are like unbearable. And by the time you're in your 50s, like, okay, you know, whatever, grown out of that. Some things just get harder. And when you're young, it's much easier to be told what to do because you're kind of in that mode still and you're more open to that. But as people get older and older and older, it's much harder to, and they get offended and they get upset and they're, and this, you know, all shul politics. Shul politics is not usually caused by 25-year-olds. Because 25-year-olds are, okay, I did that wrong. Okay, you know what? You know, fine, whatever, I'll try harder. It's caused by 55-year-olds. Who just won't listen to anybody else tell them that they could possibly have done anything wrong. So the Rambam spends a lot of time on that. He says, if you have any of these issues, again, you've separated from the community, so you're just not in their vibe and you're not with their merit. Or two, in this paragraph, you are just constantly negative about rabbinical things, so you're just not open to those ideas. Or three, you make fun of mitzvahs. Or four, you insult your rabbis and you're not there, and they're not there for you because you've just behaved badly. Or five, someone who can't take criticism in that way makes it really hard to do tshuva. Okay, next paragraph, Gimel. And there are some other things that you can do tshuva, but you can't really clean it up completely. Because they're interpersonal. And you don't know who you've offended. So you can go back to them. Meaning, if I borrow your stuff without getting permission, and you get upset, and I want to do tshuva, so I just come back to you and I say, look, I didn't respect the boundary, and I borrowed your stuff, and I'm really sorry, and you're done, you've made it up. But if you do certain things to groups, you just don't know where to start in doing tshuva, because who are you going to go to? Look at the examples he gives. Five examples. Allah. Hamakalal is a rabbi. Somebody who curses the whole community. Lo kilal adam yadua. He didn't curse one person. Kideshi isha memenu kapara, so that he can ask for a kapara, but he just spoke badly of everybody. People do this all the time. It's one thing speaking lashon hara and speaking negatively about one person. That's bad enough. But when people sit at their Shabbos tables and they, you know, this whole community is, ah, Haredim, or religious Zionists, or non-from people, like the whole community you've managed to just speak lashon hara about. Where are you even going to start? When you want to do tshuva, you're going to start knocking on the doors of everybody that might be in that community and saying, I've been speaking lashon hara and saying bad things about this community. Please, can you forgive me? There's just nowhere to start. It's like the classic Chofetz Chaim mashal of you, lashon hara being like a pillow full of feathers. And you just, you know, like this into the wind. And then the next day you think, oh, you know, something that was really silly. Where are you going to collect the feathers? Where are you going to go? It's just, you just can't do it. So he says, that's a real no-no. Don't speak lashon hara about whole groups of people. It's impossible to do tshuva. And then you're going to have that on you, and there's no way to get out of it. Bet, hacholek im aganav, somebody who is in partnership with a thief. Lefi she'en yodea geneva, zo, shelemihai mihi, I mean, there's a thief that steals things, someone you know who steals things, and then you share with him in some way. Because the thief steals from a lot of people, and you use the food or you use whatever it is, and also you're encouraging people to thieve. That's usually not going to be an issue with you guys. I imagine you're not working in cahoots with thieves, you know, fencing stolen property. But in case you are thinking of it, then don't do it. Gimel, hamotze aveda. This is something very common. Someone who finds lost property, the einu machriz alei, and they just can't be bothered to really announce whose it is. Actually, achzirin lebalei, so they can get it back to their owners. Ula achazman, and then later, because she has it tshuva, and you want to do tshuva, any of the lemilei, and you're stuck with this thing, and you don't even know where to start. And now you've got it sitting on you for like forever, and you can't get it back to anybody. What are you going to do now? Act immediately. If you find lost property, put a little note up, do the little thing, because otherwise it's going to sit until eventually what you're going to do, you're going to throw it in the garbage. And then you've just got this thing sitting on you constantly for the whole of your life, and you don't know who to give it back to. So don't do that. Dalet. Ha'oichel shoyd aniyim v'yisoyimim almanus. Somebody who takes advantage of the poor, basically. Elu b'nei adam umlali. These people are downcast. The einu yudum b'furusamim. They're not people who can stand up for themselves. And they often go from city to city. Nobody knows who they are. So you know whose this property is. Again, not something that's so relevant for us today. We don't tend to do that, but you'll see other examples coming up soon. Hey, finally in this paragraph, if you're a judge and you take a bribe in order to twist the judgment, you don't know how far that's twisted your view. There's no way you can untake it. You don't know what you would have said if you hadn't taken the bribe. Again, most of you are probably not in a position where you're taking bribes. But actually, if you ever get into positions of authority, this is a real problem. A friend of mine who's a very humble, straightforward guy, he's one of my neighbors and friends, he's a very big Talmid Chacham, and he got involved in Geirus, in conversion, working on the Beis Din. He says, and the number of people who sent him bribes and money and envelopes and promises, if you can just do this, if you can just do this, just push this through, just push that through. It's like, he said, he never realized before quite how much, like, strain judges come under when they're, in these positions of communal responsibility. He said, I don't suppose he's taken any bribes because he's very honest about it. Okay, next, Dalek. And then there are five more things that people do them, and they don't do tshuva because they don't even think they're a problem. And they don't realize how much of a problem they are. And these are really interesting.
Wait, you're saying five things?
Five things that you don't bother doing tshuva for because you don't realize, you didn't even think it was wrong. Look at the five examples he gives. These are very light in people's eyes, unimportant. But nimsa chayte, people do them wrong. But who yid mashayin zachet? And you say, well, what was the problem with that? Look at the five he chooses. Of all things, what would you choose? What would you choose as the five things that people just do all the time and they don't even think about them and they don't even realize to do tshuva? Aleph. Ha'oichel misuda she'ein maspeket lebaleha. People who eat food because they're invited to other people's homes and the people who've invited them can't really afford to give them the food.
What?
You look around the house that you're in for Shabbos and you think, these people really have no money. But you know something? I'm hungry and I want seconds. And these people are actually relying on the leftovers to eat for the rest of the week. That's what they need, those leftovers. But they want to invite you. They want you to be there and they want you to eat. But you have to have enough seichel, enough understanding to know that, no, this is a day to say, no, I really don't feel, I've got a bit of a tummy issue. I just want to eat a little bit, I'm fine. You have to have that knowledge. And says the Rambam, V'hu madam shelo chata, you think you didn't, shezav ha-gezel, sorry, you're stealing. You're stealing from them. You think that you didn't do anything wrong. V'yomen, you say, did I eat anything? Except with permission. Everything they gave me the food. No, you have to know that is a kind of theft as well. You don't realize that, but that is important. Okay? Bet. You are holding a pledge. If you say we've lent money, again, not so relevant probably to you from a poor person. This thing that they've given you as collateral is an essential tool. They can't afford it to be used or broken. That's all they have, etc., etc. Gimel. People who look sexually at other people. Usually it's men looking at women, but it's not only. And it's very clear, by the way, that this mitzvah in the Torah where it says, lo sasuru achre levavchem v'achre neichem, at the end of the Shema, yeah? Don't let your eyes go wandering around. It's a mitzvah on men and on women. They used to teach always that the men have to be careful about Shemiras Einayim, and the women have to be careful about Sneas. Yeah, that's the classic education. Well, that's true, but the men also have to be careful about Sneas, and the women also have to be careful about Shemiras Einayim, as to where they're looking, where they're not looking. And says the Rambam, people think, what did I do wrong? What's the problem? Look what he says. Male al dato she'ein bedak kachlum. The guy thinks, so I didn't do anything. Shehu omi, he says to you, v'chibalti, did I sleep with her? Or karafti, did I touch her? I never touched her. I just looked. For who only ain yodea, and he doesn't realize, she'ri'ita inayim, that what you look at with your eyes, avon gadol, you can do a very serious avera with how you look at things. Shehi goremi legufin shela arise, because it leads to worse things, etc., etc. Shne'ema loisa suru achre levavkim v'achre enechem. Okay, people do this and people make this mistake. But the problem he's got here is with the people who don't even think it's a thing. Not someone who realizes it's a problem and he tries, or she tries, but someone who thinks, what's the difference? Looking can't hurt anybody. Yes?
Just on this, it's really interesting. I come from a film background.
A film background.
Really interesting is understanding how important, there's a phrase with the gaze, G-A-Z-E.
Yes.
And where it's the way you frame somebody, you can actually, in camera, there's all this film language, you read textbooks on how to film something, you could actually take away someone's power
and autonomy just by the way you look at them.
Isn't that interesting?
And you can make them into an object as opposed to like a human being.
Right.
It's very interesting. I think that's...
So you can have a massive impact on somebody else by just the way you look at them.
Yeah, because in your eyes, like, you can remove their power.
Right, that's very interesting. And he's saying people don't think that that's a power, and it is a power, and you have to be very careful with it. Dalit, Hamid Kabein Bekloit Chaveru, if you build yourself up by putting other people down. Omer Beliba, you say to yourself, She'enached, what did I do wrong? Lefi She'en Chaveru Omed, he's not standing there. Lo Higia Lo Boshet, I didn't embarrass them. Veloi Bishu Ela Arach Ma'asav HaToivim V'chach Masa L'mul Ma'ase Chaveru V'chach Masa. All I did is I compared myself with them and I said, look, you know, they're down and I'm up. Kidei She'ireni Mechlala Shehu Mechubit V'chaveru Bazui. You make yourself look more by being down on other people. Not in front of them. But that's how you build yourself. Because people don't realize how negative that is and how bad for other people that is, and that's something which is in that category. And finally, hey, HaChoshed Kasherim. If you doubt people when they didn't do anything wrong. Omer Belibi, you say to yourself, She'enu Chayt, what did I do wrong? The fish Shehu Omer Ma Asiti Lo. He said, well, what did I do? I didn't do anything to them. For Kiyesham El Chashad. I only suspected them. Shema Asa, maybe they did this. Ola Asa, maybe they didn't do this. For Hu Eni Yodei, and they don't realize Sheze Avon. This is a really serious sin. Shemesim Adam Kosher, because you're turning someone who didn't do anything wrong, but that's how, in his view, Kabbalah varies, you're treating them like someone who does something wrong. You're always looking negatively at people. They do this, and they did this, and they did this. This is very, you know, addictive a little bit as well. People look in a negative with an ayin ra'ah. This whole, the whole idea of ayin hara, you know, of this, the evil eye that people think is like a superstitious thing. It really comes from this idea that the people who are looking with a negative attitude, pulling people down all the time in their own eyes, even if they never say anything to them, when they don't realize maybe it's not what it looks like, maybe they did something wrong. And again, I'm not getting into a whole shir on Donakav Schuss. So sometimes in high school, when they teach this, they make people think that I've got to look at everybody as if they're all perfect and everyone did this wrong, everyone's doing nothing wrong and everyone's lovely. That's not true. Not everyone is lovely. And if you walk around the world thinking everyone is perfect and not doing anything wrong, then you'll get yourself into real trouble. You won't protect yourself and your family. But a lot of the time people are just negative and they don't really know the facts. But they just assume. And therefore that's a bad thing. Yes?
Where is the line between like kind of like critical analysis and viewing people with a bad eye?
Well, the main line is why does it matter to you? Meaning if it's not something that actually impacts you in a real way, why are you getting involved at all? Okay? And therefore, that's why it says in Pirkei Avos, Havedonis kol ha'adam lekaf zchut. Kol Adam, somebody who's not connected with me, who's just a random person in the street, who I see doing something that makes no difference to me, you have to assume positively. Why? Because you should be a glass half full person. If it's someone who it impacts on you, e.g., I'm about to employ this person in a position of trust, and it just looked as though they shoplifted a tub of cottage cheese from the supermarket, and I saw them put it in their bag and walk out. I actually need to know I am there. That's important. There, how do I judge that? That's the mitzvah of, you know, betzedik tishpot amitach, and how do I... But that's the only time that you should really be involved in this. If you're just looking at other people and thinking negatively of them, and you don't even, it's not even important, not even relevant, then for sure that's wrong. If it's relevant, then yeah, you have to be reasonable, realistic, etc., and work out what to do. Yes. Yes. The second one, bet in that? The five in that category were Aleph, someone who eats from the food of poor people when they should know that actually they don't really have enough to eat. Bet, somebody who uses who uses the pledge of a poor person and they could damage it and that poor person really, really needs it. Number three, someone who looks at other people sexually and doesn't realize that it's an issue. Number four, somebody who builds themselves up by pushing other people down. And number five, somebody who suspects other people of doing things wrong when really they're just being negative in the way they look at people. By the way, in terms of looking at other people just generally on the issue of looking, the halakh is very clear that if you're not looking in a sexually benefiting way, you're just looking at people in a normal interaction, yeah, there's no reason why people can't look at each other. Certainly if they're properly dressed. If someone's undressed, then you shouldn't be looking at them unless obviously you're a doctor or a physical therapist or something like that. But if somebody is just interacting with other people in a normal way, there's no halacha that they can't look at them. There are men who don't look at women and they look in the other direction. So the Mishnah Berurah brings down that is, in the right circumstances, an appropriate chumrah. It's a stringency. However, the key thing with stringency is always in the right circumstances. And I'll just mention this right now because it's an important general point. Whenever there's a basic halachic requirement, there's no weighing up, oh, should I, shouldn't I? Is it the right thing? Is it the wrong thing? Would it be up or down? Meaning if somebody serves you a piece of tray food, you don't think, well, it's going to be embarrassing if I don't eat it, and they worked hard, it's going to be chilul Hashem. It's treif. If you can't eat it, you can't eat it. You just have to apologize and just hope for the best and say, okay, I'm really sorry, there's nothing I can do. But if you're going beyond, if you're keeping something more than the halacha requires, the halacha says this is permitted, but you want to go beyond that, maybe for good reasons generally, there are good reasons for taking on stringencies. You're a shamayim, you take it seriously. You are not allowed to do that and go beyond if it's going to have a downside, net downside. Again, you don't make that cheshbon, you don't weigh it up when it comes to the baseline halacha. But when you're going beyond, then you always have to do that. And you're not allowed to go beyond if it has a downside that outweighs what you think is going to be the upside. And you always have to do that. I'll give you an example. Let's say you say, I don't want to eat under a rabbin of Heksha because, you know, it's kosher. Yes, it's kosher, but I feel that I should have a higher level of kashrus because that's what I'm used to in the States. Okay, that's a perfectly reasonable position. But then when your parents come to town and they want to eat at a restaurant, I don't eat that Heksha. Okay, we'll go to another. I don't like that. You're driving your parents crazy for a chumrah, for something that's not even required. The food is kosher. Why are you not eating it? Oh, because I have a higher standard. You have a higher standard in kashrus. You have a lower standard in respecting your parents. So you've got to weigh it up, always.
I've said this so many times and people have looked at me like I had three heads, like you have validated.
Oh, good. Who looks at you as if you've got three heads?
Like, I've told friends, like, oh, in certain situations, rabbis have told me, or all do this, or like, I need the decision. And they're like, no, if you don't eat it, you don't eat it. And I'm like, you can talk to your own rabbis. Like,
yes, I suggest they
and
do.
And then I started thinking, like, is this a thing? But guys,
look, you can get yourself into a problem if you take on as a neder, which you shouldn't do. Like, I'm never going to eat food from this heksher. That's a really silly thing to do, because then you might have to do Hataras Nadorim in order to get out of it, and then that's a big pain in the neck.
I don't think it was that. I think it was just people who, like, a rabbi gave them a list, and they were like, I live, like, this is the list I use, and there's no
fine. But, okay, that's called, like, getting more educated, yeah.
It's really not to know if you're, like, weighing whether to respect your parents more or not, like, for Tom Bias versus, like, keeping the heksher that you've been.
Again, what do you mean took on? If you go to a rabbinate restaurant in this country, there's no question in the world that a rabbinate restaurant is kosher. How can it not be kosher? To say that it's not kosher is saying terrible lashon hara against the people who gave it that heksher.
Right.
Okay? And if you're worried about corruption, then why are you not worried about corruption with the other heksherim?
Right.
I mean, corruption is not something which is, like, limited to one sector of the community. So given that it's kosher, and you're saying, quite rightly, perhaps, that I feel that this is not a level of heksher that I'm comfortable with, then that's a chumrah. And once you keep it as a chumrah is always in the right circumstances, yes, in the wrong circumstances, no. So I'm saying that if you're a guy that doesn't want to look at women, then I respect that, but don't insult women by doing your chumrah. I've had students, you know, in 18-year-old seminars that I've been running for years, they go to people's houses for Shabbos, and the guy likes to be hospitable, and they invite, and he doesn't look at women. Like, do me a favor, if you want to invite guests for Shabbos, invite men. Yeah. Maybe he doesn't look at anybody. I don't know. but like, don't do that. Yes, quickly.
I've said it's a question when it comes to, like, the gazing and looking at people in a certain way.
Yes.
If you're, like, on a date, like, is that...
Okay, good. Okay, I'm not getting into all the halakhas. Obviously, you're on a date, hopefully you're not ogling somebody. But you're looking at them in a slightly different way. You're looking at them and asking yourself, do I feel attracted to you? Do I not?
Yeah.
Okay, we're not talking about that. We all know we're not talking about that. Okay? Okay, fine. Hey, let's go on. Ubihem chamish dvarim ha'osim osa yimashech achreim tamid. And there are five last things that he says. The problem with these things is they're addictive, and it's really hard to get off them, to break out of them. V'hein kashim lifrosh mehem. And addiction is not a new thing, right? Addiction's always been there. Look at the five things that he brings. The v'kach tzarech adam liyizhar mehem. A person must always be very careful with these things. Shemi yidabek behem. You'll become addicted to them. V'hein kula deyos ra'os ad ma'od. And these are really, really, really bad attitudes and bad behaviors. For Elohim, and here they are. Rechilas, you're all the time telling stories. He said this and she said that, and he said this and she said that, and they're leading to places. Oh, I never knew he said that, and da 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 da. You're not even speaking Lashon Hara negatively, you're just gossiping about things all the time. Okay? the less you speak about people, the better you are. Speak about ideas. Speak about history. I don't know. Speak about whatever. Speaking about people is usually not a good thing. Lashon Hara is addictive, he says. People get into it, they get into it. Baal Chema, anger issues. Okay? Really hard. If you've got a temper, he said, it's really, really hard to deal with that. And you have to work really hard on that because it becomes something that you can't control. It controls you and you don't control it. Ubal Machshava Ra'a, people who have really bad fantasizing issues. Whatever they're fantasizing about, they don't have any control over their own minds. And they just go off on flights of fancy and like to negative places, to places that they don't like afterwards. And there's all sorts of different ways of, you know, that manifesting. But he said it's, you need to be honest about your own ability to control your own mind and be and work out a way to help yourself with that, because he says it can be something which is really addictive. You see this in all sorts of, you see this in, you know, pornography abuse, which is rampant all over the place, women and men. We found after COVID, by the way, with the 18-year-old seminaries, a lot of women had pornography addiction after COVID. Some of them had gambling addictions from being online, you know, the whole time. You know, it's like, so it's really, some things are really, really hard and really addictive. And again, how you deal with this on a personal level is a different question. But you just have to be aware that the human mind is very hard to control. And okay, you might be fantasizing about killing people. That's even worse on a certain level if it's like real fantasizing about that. But either way, it's Los Asuru Achre Levavchem Achre Nechem. That same posse that says you're not allowed to wander, let your eyes wander onto things. You're not allowed to let your head wander as well. Again, things pop into your head. That's fine. Everybody has stuff that pops into their head. The mind is a very busy, sparking thing, and all sorts of weird things pop into people's heads. Fine, but then you can just move on and don't run with them. You can make the decision when that weird thought pops into your head. Are you going to take it, run with it, develop it, and see where it goes? You can choose. That's your choice. Your choice is not what pops into your head. That you're not responsible for. But you can decide what to do with it. And finally, hey, hamitchaber l'rosha, if you hang out with bad people, you'll pick up their ways, they'll become influential on you. And that's why it says, okay, they're people who are fools, become bad like the bad people they're with, etc. And we've already said in Hilchas Deis everything that needs to be said. You have to be conscious of this always. All the more so for someone who wants to do tshuva. And then he says at the end, like I said at the beginning, on all these 24 things, some things that just make it hard to do tshuva, some things which are addictive, some things which you don't think are a problem, some things which are so serious you don't get heavenly help. They're all things which make it harder, but not impossible. They just make it harder. And you can overcome them in your own way, but just why make it hard for yourself, etc. So again, plug this into your own minds, into your own lives. You have a question? What about cursing? Cursing is clearly, cursing is something which I will put in this as well. Cursing is something which is very hard to stop yourself doing, which is halachically osur. But there's cursing and cursing. There's some people who curse when they drop something heavy on their foot and every now and then say something. And there's some people who just becomes part of their... truth is, the movies that you watch make a big difference to that. And I'm not getting into what movies you should watch, but, you know, it does normalize certain ways of speaking. There's for sure halacha. In fact, the main halacha about non-Jewish music, the people get very excited about Jewish music and non-Jewish music, there's no problem listening to non-Jewish music, halachically. The problem is listening to music which is full of curses. And you know, and sexual explicit and things like that. That's the problem. A lot of music is, and always was, by the way. Always was.
Rabbi,
okay.
You're so close. Two lines. I had to use my next
Thank you. But those two lines.